Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord. We've been following a story this week surrounding a proposal that the Dayton City Commission's considering whether or not to enter into a contract with a company that provides aerial surveillance for the city to monitor crime. It's created controversy with civil rights groups who say this is a potential violation of privacy. I spoke to Dayton Chief of Police Richard Beal in his office this week, and I asked him to explain exactly what this technology is.
Yeah, it is enhanced video imagery that can be captured from the air. The flight level is roughly about 8,900. This is a camera imagery attached to a Cessna plane. It is piloted, and basically about a 25-square-mile area can be monitored all at one time. Now, the imagery is downlinked to basically computer software that if a crime event occurs, we can identify an individual or vehicle at that scene. They can be tagged electronically and tracked through computer software so we can see not only where they came from but where they went to after leaving the crime scene.
So how's this going to work? Is there going to be a robbery? You get a call and you say, dispatch the planes, or is that what happens?
No, actually what we're going to do is we identify crime patterns because this is expensive technology. It is labor-intensive in terms of personnel to do the forensic analysis based on the imagery to follow up on crime events. So we will identify crime patterns that are already in existence and then basically fly the plane at times that we think additional crimes are going to occur in the hope to be able to capture these events and then use this video imagery and the computer tracking to follow suspects and vehicles to a place where their identification can be determined through some secondary means, so another ground sensor, meaning another camera on the ground and or witnesses that are identified on the ground, or actually having a police officer respond to a location, do we know where the suspect went?
You're talking about a lot of analysis and an expensive piece of technology. Right. Are you just hoping to get lucky to catch a crime there?
No, actually, it's because of using pattern analysis. We hope not to be lucky. We hope to be very focused and strategic in its use. So we're going to deploy it at times. We have every reason to believe another event will occur. To just fly and hope you'll be lucky would be extremely costly and very ineffective.
Now, is this going to be surveillance 24 hours a day, all the time?
Yeah, actually, it's a great question because, you know, that's been, I don't want to be watched, somebody be able to watch me around the clock. This is 120 hours over 3 months, and it's not 120 hours continuous. The flights are roughly 4 hours before the plane has to refuel, so 4-hour increments strategically determined based on pattern analysis over a series of days, weeks, or months.
What is to say, though, that this technology won't be used for other reasons that are outside of crime?
See, I've heard that question before. I mean, first of all, I go back. It's crime is our focus here. We have no interest in monitoring what citizens are doing in normal activity. We have no interest. We have no intent to do that. And I would say if that intent did exist, you don't need this technology to do it. I mean, that's the other part of this, is if this technology would provide a capability that wouldn't exist by just deploying current resources to do the very same thing. So, you know, those who think, well, this technology, that doesn't go through, well, then we're certain no one could ever monitor what I'm doing. No, if police really wanted to do that, it could be done, correct, with current resources. So the argument that having the technology not available will prevent that from occurring is really a false argument.
Not exactly a comforting thought there.
But that's the reality of it, right? I mean, the greatest thing about this country is that is because of transparency of government. Everything we do is a matter of public record, for the most part subject to public disclosure. Now, not a current active investigation. That's protected. It is a public record because it can thwart getting to the truth and accomplishing justice. But everything government does, at least in Ohio because of the public records law, is subject to disclosure of citizens at any time for any reason without even a written request. That's the transparency of government. That's the protection.
So after something happens, the public will have access to seeing how this technology was used?
Anyone. It doesn't have to be, you know, someone who is a civil libertarian or civil rights advocate saying, I want access. Any citizen could walk in and say, I want to see. Now, the computer, and even including the analysis once a criminal case is conducted. And, oh, by the way, any information acquired, if it's part of a prosecution, criminal case, that's subject to all the legal safeguards in our legal system. So if it is believed to be obtained illegally, that can be challenged in court. So there are checks and balances in place to really prevent any of this from being used improperly. First and foremost, I'll say it's the integrity of the men and women in the Dayton Police Department.
Are there any other safeguards in place besides the after-the-fact public record that would assure the public that this isn't being used in an unintended way?
Well, obviously what we're looking at is the retention period. Now, right now, the draft policy has a 45-day only because other video imagery is captured for that period of time. I would like that to be a lesser period of time. I don't know exactly which. I think probably 30 days is perhaps more reasonable. So a retention period with automatic purging of data would be one of those protections. An audit trail of any analysis that's done. Anyone accessing the files, so that information could be sent to commanders so we can monitor anyone who accesses this information for any kind of forensic analysis or investigation. So there are other administrative processing put in place to enhance safeguards to ensure this not being used improperly.
You say that this technology can look at 25 miles all at once. That's a lot of people that perhaps are being recorded and they don't know it at the time. They don't have anything to worry about is what you're saying?
I mean, I think the disconnect here is the belief that it's me that you're watching. We don't know who it is without secondary verification on the ground. So there is no way of telling the who, race, gender, ethnicity, identity of an individual. There's no way to tell make, model, license plate of a vehicle. All that has to be followed up with some kind of verification on the ground.
But technology inevitably does get better. I mean, what if down the road that you don't need to do that secondary verification?
You know, that was one of the questions, or at least one of the things, and I'm not an expert in this technology, but Lara Walters from IDCast, who does expertise in the area, said this is going to be the upper end of limitation of this current technology. So while there may be other technology out there that could improve, I guess, the quality of video imagery, it isn't this technology. And I got a feeling if it's out there, it costs an enormous amount of money. So I'm sure if it exists, then it'll be cost prohibitive. I mean, this is a costly technology, which is why it has to be used in such a very focused, strategic way. Otherwise, we're spending a lot of money with no benefit.